Let's go to Judges chapter 6 this morning. If you have your Bible with you this morning, we're going to be in Judges chapter 6. This is a subject kind of near and dear to my heart, being a minister, and this is kind of in the theme of the missionary theme we have of this month here at Indian Gap. But any missionary has dealt with this, putting out the fleece. And we deal with this even at the church. We've been dealing with this at this church where we just kind of, you're like, well, does God want us to do that? Or what is God's will in this? And does God want me to do this? Does God not want me to do that? Missionaries are real notorious about dealing with this because they're like, does God want me to go to Ecuador? Does God want me to go to Africa? Is this really what God wants me to do? And then they get on the road and they start traveling down the road and they have a flat tire. And they get out and they're changing the flat tire at 3 o'clock in the morning and they're thinking, did God do this to me or did Satan do this? What's going on here? And they get down the road. This has happened. And get down maybe 100 miles down the road, the engine blows up. Okay, is God trying to keep me from going out and doing this for him? Or is this the devil working? Is this God's will? What's God doing? And, you know, the truth is God's not talking audibly to us, right? I mean, that's, and we're going to talk about all of this, but Gideon runs into this, and he look at Judges chapter 6, verse 36. This is a famous set of scriptures about the fleece. Judges chapter 6, look at verse 36. Let's pick up the story. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, if it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, and a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak up but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece, let it now be that dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. So Gideon is trying to find out if that's what God wants him to do. And he says, God, I'm going to put this fleece out and let there be water everywhere else. But water be on this fleece and it be dry everywhere else. And he wakes up and sure enough, the fleece is like we would call just like an animal rug. He takes that, he wrings out that woolen fleece and it's full of water. And he's like, well, God has done that for me. Well, that wasn't enough for Gideon. He said, well, God, don't be mad at me, but next night make it where there's water everywhere else on the ground. But on this fleece, I'm going to lay it out on the ground. Let it be dry. And he woke up and sure enough, it was like that. So God had done both of those. So I'm going to talk this morning, preach this morning, and show you some dangers, some real dangers in putting out a fleece. There's a real danger in putting out a fleece. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you. I thank you for these people that love you. Come out this morning, Lord God, to open up your book, Lord God, and to glorify Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you give some healing in our church, Lord God. Be with Sister Janice, Lord, especially this morning, Lord, as she's dealing with what she's dealing with, Lord God. I pray you give her grace and strength to bear with it, Lord God. I pray for healing there. And Lord, I pray, Father, as we get through the rest of this service, Lord, that you'll help us understand the dangers of putting out a fleece, Lord God, and make it real to us, Lord. Help us to understand what we need to do, what we could do, Lord God, and how we can find out what your will is in our life. In Jesus Christ, holy name I pray, amen. There is a danger, there's a real danger in putting out a fleece. But what a fleece is defined as, let me define a fleece first. A fleece is defined as asking God for a sign, so you can know what to do or his will in the matter you're trying to do. So basically, you're asking for a sign to see if you should do something or not do something for the Lord or what his will is in a matter. Now, most Christians in here, if you've done anything for the Lord at all, you'll put out a fleece. you'll say, Lord, if this is really what you want me to do, then let the phone ring next 5 minutes or something. You know, we come up with all these fleeces that we try to put out with the Lord. Give us a sign, Lord. Give us a sign. We need a sign, Lord. I need a sign. That's what he was looking for, was a sign from God. And I always think about that. When I think about the fleece and what Gideon did here, I always remember what our Lord and Savior said. Our Lord and Savior said, an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh for a sign. So I want to show you there's some real dangers and putting out a fleece. The first danger there is in putting out a fleece is you're tempting God. You're tempting God. You might be asking for a sign that is nothing short of a miracle. That's tempting God. You notice how Satan got a hold of Jesus Christ there in the temptation, and he was trying to get Jesus Christ to fall, and Satan took Jesus and he put him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he says, you know, if you're really the Son of God, the scripture says that if you were to cast yourself down, that the angels would carry you up and not let your feet dash on the stones on the ground. And what did Jesus Christ say? You should not tempt the Lord thy God. You know, You pray God, you know, I hope you do. You tried to pray a hedge of protection around yourself, but I'm not going to be dumb enough to go put my finger in that light socket and say, Lord, if you really love me, I won't get electrocuted when I put my finger in that light socket. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're probably going to get lit up. That's tempting God. Amen? That's tempting God. Also, when you're tempting God, you might ask for a sign that is so simple that it's no sign at all. I've actually seen brothers do that kind of thing before. You ask for a sign that's so simple. You put out a fleece that's so simple that it's no sign at all. You might want to ask the Lord, hey, Lord, like I said, Lord, let the phone ring in the next 5 minutes. And if that'll be my sign that you really want me to do this. And your phone will ring, you'll look at it, and it'll be a telemarketer. You know, is that any kind of sign? I don't know. You try to figure that out yourself. Look at verse 39. Look down at verse 39. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. But let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. No, this once. It was twice, Gideon. This is the second time, Gideon. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, upon all the ground. Let there be dew. Here's the second danger in putting out a fleece. If God does give you a sign, if God does have grace, if God does do that sign that you're asking for, he might not believe it. You might not believe it. You might say, God, give me a sign. If this happens, then that tells me you really want me to do this. And God does it, and you're like, well. You say, Pastor, I don't think I'd be that way. Well, Gideon was. What Gideon had done to him when he asked for that fleece there in verses 36, 37, 38 was nothing short of a miracle. A miracle, and Gideon's like, well. But Lord, don't be mad at me, but hey, let this happen now. So the real danger is if God does give you a sign, you might not believe it. You know, you might say, God, if you really want me to, let's say a pastor or somebody is wanting to try to go to a church, like, Lord, if you really want me to go to this church, then give me a sign. Let them give me a call in the next 5 minutes. And they do call you. And they call you and ask you, hey, did you hear about that sale? They're selling some really good manure down at the so-and-so plant or whatever, you know. And you get off the phone and you start thinking, well, they didn't talk to me about church. Maybe that wasn't a sign at all. You see how this goes? God can audibly speak to you. Kegan, go do what I told you to do. Man, I must have had something really bad last night to eat. Indigestion got to me. You know, come on out, guys. I know you're trying to play a trick on me. You wouldn't believe it, see. God could speak audibly from heaven, and you'll try to... Listen, brothers and sisters, that's what you call living by sight. Putting out a fleece is what you're... It's real dangerous because you're trying to live by sight. You're trying to live by a sign. You're trying to live by signs. Brothers, we don't need a sign. We're living by faith, amen? The only sign that Jesus Christ said he's going to give us is the sign of Jonas. What was Jonas? As Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Our sign, your sign, is the resurrection. And we're looking forward to that next Sunday. Our sign is the resurrection. That's our sign. That's the only. You've already been given the sign. You've got the sign. So we need to move forward. If God does give you a sign, you might not believe it. The third thing you might want to be warned about, and the danger of looking for a, and this is the real danger. Here's the real danger. Go back up to verse 36. This is it right here. Here's the real danger. Verse 36. Go back up to verse 36. The real danger. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Did you pick up on that the first time we read through it? God had already told him. God had already told him. The real danger is you're doubting God's words. You're doubting God's words. The real danger here with Gideon putting out this fleece and God showed him a lot of grace and did something for him is the danger was he was doubting God's words. You're in Judges chapter 6. Just turn back. Turn back to verse 11. Turn back to verse 11. The Lord had already told Gideon what he wanted him to do. He'd already told him. And I'm about to show you here, starting in verse 11, I'm about to show you that God had already given him a call, God had already given him a command, and God had already given him a promise. God had already given him a call, God had already given him a command, and God had already given him a promise. Go back to verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah, that pertained to Joash the Abizrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So Gideon's minding his own business. Gideon's just doing some work out in the field. He's not bothering anybody, just like y'all in here. You're just going along. You're not bothering anybody. And then one day the Lord shows up in your life. Verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. There's the call. There's the call. The Lord is with thee, the mighty man of valor. Do you know everybody in this room has got a call on them? You are the sons of God. Everybody in this room that's a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, God's already given you that call. He's already given you the call. He's already told you who you are and what you are. You're kings and priests with God. You're a son of the King. You're something special. You're born again. You're a son of God. And he says, Gideon, hey, Gideon, you might not know it, but the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon's like, who, you talking to me? There must be somebody else behind me. I'm not a mighty. God's giving you the power. God's giving you the sword. God's giving you the weapon. Later on, Gideon's going to do a mighty work, and it's going to say, the Bible's going to say, the sword of the Lord, the sword of Gideon. You've got the sword of the Lord right here. Every Christian in here has got a weapon. You've got the mighty power of God through the Holy Spirit living in you. You've got that call. You're a mighty man of valor. Verse 13, Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. So Gideon back talks the Lord and says, well, if this is all so special and the Lord's with us, then why has all this happened to us? Why has all this happened to us? Well, I purposely started at verse 11 because I didn't want you to start at verse 7. Go back up to verse 7. Gideon's not listening to the Word of God and Gideon's not listening to the Bible. Look at verse 7. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of Midianites. All the crying, why is all this happening to me? Don't we know Americans are doing that to God right now? Oh, why do we have this wicked president in office? Oh, Lord, why is all this happening? Why is all this happening? God said, you're getting exactly what you deserve. You turned on me. You forsook me. You've turned my house to a house of thieves and not a house of prayer. You don't talk about me. You don't have nothing to do with me. You took me out of your schools. You took me out of your homes. You took me out. And then now you're like, oh, God, why is God doing this to America? God bless America. God bless America for what? In God we trust. No, in money we trust. Right? That's because look at verse 8. That the Lord sent a prophet. God's been sending preachers to America for hundreds of years. I know through my study of because I love old time preachers. God from the late 1800s, from Dwight O. Moody to Billy Sunday to Billy Graham. Before Billy Graham went into posse, Billy Graham's a great preacher, great preacher. Billy Sunday, great preacher. God, J. Frank Norris, great preachers. God's been sending great preachers through America. And man, we were doing good. And somewhere along the way in the 50s, America, after World War II, decided we don't need God anymore. We don't need God's word. We don't need to hear God's preaching. And it just, America went like this. And you get into the 60s, and what happened in the 60s? Love, 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 not war. And here we go, 70s, 80s. It's all about me, the me generation, 90s, 2000. We're way down here in 2024. And now we're way down at the barrel. God, why'd you do this to us? God says that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. Verse 10, and I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. God says, I did everything for you, but you're not obeying my voice. So God had sent preachers, and Gideon didn't listen to them. God had sent the word of God. Gideon wasn't listening to them. So in verse 13, he's asking the Lord, why are you doing all this to us? Look at verse 13 again. And Gideon said unto him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand. It's six times. Six times Gideon says us. I'm here to tell y'all this morning that God has put a personal call on each one of y'all's lives. And that call, I don't know what call he's given you to do. I don't know what it is, but God's given a call. I know for sure he's told you to go out and preach the gospel. But it's a personal call. And Gideon's trying to say, hey, Lord, what about us? And the Lord says, you're the mighty man of valor. I'm going to use you to do this. You, Gideon. So he's got the call. And look at verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go, and this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? There's the command. See, there's the command. So God's giving him a call. God gives him a command. He's told to go. He's told he's going to save. And he's going, have I not sent thee? Now look at verse 15. And he said to him, oh, my Lord, this is Gideon, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Well, that's all true. Verse 16, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. There's the promise. He got the call. Then God gave him the command, go and save. And then he says, well, I don't know, Lord. I'm just, why did God pick Gideon? Because God's going to get all the glory. And you'll see that in that story with Gideon. But the third thing he says, here's the promise. I will do it. Verse 16, I will be with thee. So he's gotten the call, he's gotten the command, and he's gotten the promise. So the real danger of putting out the fleece is you're not obeying God's word. You're doubting God's words. Gideon, when he put out this fleece, brothers and sisters, this is why I'm preaching this message. When Gideon put out this fleece, it's a wonderful story. I remember hearing about it when I was in Sunday school. But the truth is, there's a real danger in doing that, because what Gideon was doing way back, when you go back to verse 36, what he's doing, he's doubting what God's already told him. Go, if this is what you want me to do, Gideon, that is what I want you to do. See, don't you know God has to talk to us like little children? Go take out the trash. Mom, is that, you really want me to take out the trash? Yeah, I want you taking out the trash. I didn't know if you really wanted me to clean up my room. No, I told you, clean your room up. If you really want me doing this, God, then give me a, see the danger in this? No, God's already talked to you. Now, I know what's going through your mind. Because I know you're a sinner just like I'm a sinner. And you're saying, well, God's not talking now, right? God's not sitting under an oak tree telling me what to do. Amen, I got you. I understand that. I understand that kind of thinking. Because we don't have anybody in this room where God's like personally talking to you like he did Gideon from mouth to ear like that. I get what you're saying. You sure he hasn't already been telling you? Are you sure he hasn't already told you? Because the truth is, yeah, we can say, God's not talking. God's not talking. And I know I say that sometimes. I heard other people say that. Yeah, well, I don't know what to do because God's not talking. He's not talking. Well, you sure he's not talking? I don't know about you, but he did a lot of talking, got written down right here. 1,000 pages more of talking here. Takes me over a year to read it. Maybe he's done all the talking he's going to talk, and you hadn't been a-listening. He's done all the talking he's going to do, and you hadn't been a-listening. Maybe he's already said all he's going to say. God's already said all he's going to say. And the reason why I'm saying that, brothers and sisters, the reason why I'm saying that is, notice when Gideon questions God, God doesn't audibly come back down and say, I told you you're a mighty man of valor. I told you, go and save them. I told you, I promise you that I'm going to save them through you, and you got me, I'm behind you. God didn't repeat any of his words. He just says, Lord, I need a fleece. I need a sign. I need you to do this. And God, through his grace, gave it to Gideon. I'm not promising God's going to do that. The real danger in that, when you start doubting God's words, that's when the devil can really work on you. Lord, make my phone ring the next 5 minutes. Is really what you want me to do? And the devil's over there saying, make the phone ring. Idiot. You don't know the devil doesn't know everything you're saying? That's what the dangers of a sign are. That's why signs are so dangerous. That's why the Bible says in the end times, which I believe we're living in, there's going to be signs, and lying signs and wonders done by the devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet. Fire brought down from heaven. All these signs and healings. Just because somebody's doing a sign doesn't mean it's necessarily from God. Amen. Yeah. Amen. You don't know. You just don't know. The devil's working just like God's working. When God started doubting, God didn't speak again. He already had given his words as a call, as a command, and as a promise. So I want to give you some real practical advice and some direction. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. So if you're not supposed to put out a fleece, which I don't recommend putting out a fleece, I'm going to give you some practical advice for direction in your life as a Christian. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. So I'm going to give you some real practical advice and some direction, some alternatives to putting out a fleece. If I'm going to tell you there's a real danger in putting out a fleece, and I'm going to tell you that I think Gideon did a wrong thing here by putting out a fleece, because not only did he doubt God's words, when God did give him a fleece, he didn't believe it. He had to have another fleece. It's nothing short of a miracle what God did for Gideon there, and I can't promise you God's going to do that for you. But saying all that, I understand we need to know. We have times where we're like, God, do you want me to do this? God, is this what I'm doing is right? God, what direction do I need to take? Do I take the left or do I take the right? That's some real honest questions that every Christian should deal with if they're serving the Lord God. If they're serving the Lord God. So let me give you the first one. Here's the first bit of advice. This is alternatives for instead of a fleece, these are alternatives to asking for a fleece, some practical advice. Here's my advice. As a pastor, I've been preaching for now over 20 years. Been a Christian for over 30 years. 35, going on 40. Just start moving and the Lord will direct your path. Now, that sounds real simple. Just start moving and the Lord will direct you where he wants you to go. So the Lord didn't call us to be couch potatoes. The Lord called us to move. He told us to go, right? Go ye into all the world. Well, the world's a pretty big place, amen? Go ye into all the world. Well, what part of the world do you want me to go? He said, go. Go ye into all the world. Let me tell you like this. Let me try to explain to you like this. And this is what I found out in my ministry and my walk with the Lord. If you're a car and you're sitting there as a car and you're sitting there in a car, and you're saying, Lord, where am I supposed to go? If the Lord turns that steering wheel in that car and you're sitting still, it's not going to make much of a difference, right? There's not change at all in your life. But if you start moving, say, I'm going to do something for God. Well, does he want you to go this way or that way? I don't know, but I'm going to start walking. That's the right attitude to have. And let me show you. Let me tell you why. Because if you start walking, you'll find out, and this is what I found out, God will start directing your path where he wants you to go. Let me give you my example. When I said, God, I want to preach your word. I want to get people saved. I want to do something for you, Lord. And I started teaching Sunday school. And then during that Sunday school, I remember the night I was sitting in church and the Lord said, I want you to start preaching. I'm not going to preach. Oh, no, not me. I can't do what he said. There's no way. I don't want to preach. I want you to start preaching. You've been 12 years been teaching. Now I want you to start preaching. I didn't know which way to go. When I went through my process of going to Pensacola, and then I come back from Pensacola, and I was having all kinds of trouble. Lord, I want to preach. I want to preach. And the Lord says, through Brother Tut, I'm out here at Indian Gap. I need somebody to fill in for me. Will you come out and fill in for me for 1 week? That's how the Lord works. That's why he's a comedian. The Lord's a comedian. 1 week. Oh, okay, yeah. Where's Indian Gap at? Oh, I go out to Pretty. You go out to, oh, okay. 1 week? Yeah, 1 week. Oh, okay. 18 years later, would I have asked to come out to Indian Gap? I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. Now I know I'm in the perfect place. Praise God. But when I first started moving for the Lord and working, I wouldn't have said, Lord, am I supposed to go to Indian Gap or am I supposed to go 5 minutes down the road? I would have said, Lord, if I'm supposed to go 5 minutes down the road, let the sun come up tomorrow. That's how I would have put out my fleece. What you do is you just move and you allow the Lord to move you where he wants you to go. The example is when you're in that car and that car, you just move that car, you say, I don't know, I'm just working for the Lord. I'm going to start moving. You know this to be true. It don't take much of a turn of that steering wheel and you're going to go off in a wild direction that you never seen coming. But you got to be moving. Just start moving and the Lord will direct your path. Now listen, brothers and sisters, it takes faith to do that. It takes real faith to do that. Brother Barbie, Walter Barbie, he was out in this church. He came to me and he says, the Lord's calling me. I'm feeling being called to preach. I'm like, amen, brother, I'm being called to preach. Amen, brother. Comes back the next Sunday. I'm being called up north. Like up to Metroplex? No, up north. North of the Red River? You sure that ain't the devil? Yeah, I'm being called up north. All right, brother. We're up north. I don't know. There's some people in here remember that. I don't know. He sold everything he had down there Dublin, his dump truck, everything. He got his wife and he got in his car, his truck, loaded it up. He headed up north. He drove. He'd call me. So, well, I'm up here in New Mexico. Yeah, I don't feel like this is where God wants me. I'm going to keep on driving. All right, brother. This is a true story. He drove and drove and drove. He ended up in Idaho. He calls me up from Idaho. I'm where God wants me to be. Well, praise God. Praise God. How many years ago was that? 15 years ago? 14 years ago? How many? You know where he's at now? He's in Mississippi. He's further south than he is here. He's at the South Mississippi. If you look on a map, he's south of here. It takes faith. It's a faith principle. But I'm here to tell you, when you're going to start working for the Lord, you're not going to tell the Lord. You can. I mean, I've known guys that do it. But telling the Lord what you're going to do and how you're going to do it don't work out very well sometimes. Lord, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be a pastor here, and I'm going to be here, and I'm going to be there, and it just all falls apart. That's why sometimes it falls apart on some of these brothers and some of these sisters when they try to do something for the Lord. Just move, and the Lord will put you where he wants you to be. Listen to me, and you're not going to understand this until you've lived it like I've lived it. You don't know what you want. I'm going to say that again. You think you know what you want. You think you know what's good for you. You think you know what's in your hearts, what you want. God knows what you need. Because like I told you, I would have never picked Indian Gap. It's 40 minutes from the house. But God has got me in the perfect spot with brothers, sisters that think like me, feel like me, the Lord's work. This is where the Lord wants me to be. And I would have never chose this, but I thank God that he directed me this way. But it starts with just moving. Don't put out a fleece. Just move and allow the Lord to direct your path. He'll protect. And listen to me. Where God guides, he provides. Where God guides, he provides. So if he's guiding you a certain way and you're seeing things open up, you're seeing opportunities open up, you're seeing financial opportunities open up where, hey, I've got the money to do this, I've got the money to do that, maybe God's providing. If he's guiding, he's going to provide. But if you're going a certain way and you're saying, I want to go do this, and you don't see the opportunities, you don't see the financial opportunity, you don't see the feasibility of doing it, you better back off and say, well, maybe God's not providing, because that's not where God's guiding. See, that's not a fleece, that's called just practical advice, amen? Where God guides, he usually provides. But let me finish this off by saying this. Sometimes we lose faith before God, giving God an opportunity to provide. Sometimes we lose faith before we give God an opportunity to provide. Because anybody who's done anything for the Lord knows what I'm about to say is, God doesn't work on our time. And we'll pray and 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 pray, and God's slowly shuffling his feet. A day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day with the Lord. And we're like, Lord, I really need this. I really need this. I really need this. And Lord, are you sure you really need? And then right when he shows up and he provides. And sometimes I think we lose faith before we give God an opportunity to provide. You know why I think God does it that way? So you'll know where it come from. And you'll know who to give the glory to. If God gives it to you right when you're doing it, sometimes you'll say, well, I'm doing a pretty good job here. And you start thinking it's you doing it. It's not God. That's why he chose Gideon. So I'm going to make sure. I'm going to make sure. George Mueller, the great man of God, is a perfect example of what I'm trying to tell y'all this morning. George Mueller had an orphanage that God had helped him open up, helping an orphanage. 300 children were in this orphanage. This in the late 1800s, early 1900s. George Mueller opened up this orphanage. 300 children was in this orphanage. He gets up one morning, the mother of the house comes to him and says, I got all 300 children ready for school. We have nothing to eat. What do you want me to do? George Mueller said, set them down at the table. Sets all 300 children down at the table. He stands in front of all 300 children. He thanks God for the food he's going to give them. He gets through praying. It wasn't a minute or two after he gets through praying. Somebody knocks at the door. It's a baker, local baker in the town. I've been up all night long. God's been pressing on me. I've got to bake bread for you. I just think you're going to need bread today, so I brought some bread over here this morning. George Mueller, praise God. Brings it in. Couple of minutes later, milkman driving the milk cart, wheel fell off right in front of the George Mueller's house. I've got all this milk. It's going to spoil before they can get over here and fix my wheel. Do you have any need for this milk? Well, you know what? As a matter of fact, I got 300 children who could use some of that milk. Bring it on in here. George Mueller's known, you need to read his biography. George Mueller's known as a great man of faith. And that's why. He's allowing God to work. He didn't throw out a fleet. He just said, Lord, I believe you're going to do it. And he gave God an opportunity. He had faith and gave God an opportunity to provide. Gave God an opportunity to provide. Second thing I want to point out about and to give you advice for doing an alternative to a fleece is I want to point this out to you. God has given you a call, a command, and a promise. The call, of course, is through Jesus Christ as a Son of God. The command is to go and to preach. Go ye into all the world. That's a command. And the promise is found here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There's your promise, Christian. Let's read it again. My God, that's your God too. My God shall supply all, A-L-L, your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's already told you what he wants you to do. He's given you a free will. He's gave you the call. He's gave you command. He gave you the promise. I read you the promise. He's gave you a free will. Everybody in this room, that's the glorious thing about the Lord God. He gives you a free will. And where I'm going with this is simply this. He's told you what to do. He's given you a free will. Go figure it out. He wants to see what you'll do. That's why he left it in your hands. You say, well, I don't know if God wants me to do it this way or not. Well, if you got the call, yeah, well, do it your way. You're going to be the one answer to God. I don't want to do it Dr. Ruckman's way. I don't want to do it anybody, Brother Chad Reese's way. I got to do it my way. Because you know who's going to answer to God? Me. You know who's you're going to answer to God. So you say, oh, that's not the way I would do it. Well, go do it your way then. That's why you got a free will. Go serve God your way. Go start your church your way. You do it your way. Praise God, and praise God maybe, and he'll supply all your need, right? He's giving you a free will. Sometimes we're so hesitant. We're like the, remember the parable where Jesus Christ comes back as a king and he says, I've given you a talent, now show, give it back to me. And they come in and say, I've gained 10 talents, Lord. He said, good, I'll give you 10 cities to rule over. Lord, I gained 5 talents. Good, I'll give you 5 cities to rule over. Call in that other servant. Lord, I took your talent and I hid it in the ground because I know that you're kind of a hard man. And now here's your talent back. The Lord said, you should have done something with it. Give that talent from him and give it to the other one that has 10. What's that parable about? The Lord's giving you something to do. You better be doing. Say, well, I was afraid. Don't be afraid. Just do. Listen, I done told you, when you're moving, if you're doing it the way the Lord don't want you to do it, it'll dry up. It'll close up. Thirdly, let me say this. Instead of putting out a fleece, just ask for wisdom. You don't know what the Lord wants you to do, how you want to do it, the direction you need to go, whatever. You need to question that and say, Lord, give me wisdom. Pray and ask for wisdom. That's James chapter 1, verse 5. And here's how I pray. And I'll close by saying this. Pray and ask the Lord, open a door or close the door. Lord, if you want me to go through this door and to do something for you, open that door. And when I pray and the Lord knows my heart, when I say open that door, provide the way, provide the means, provide the financial means, or whatever it is I need to do, then open up that door. Lord, if you don't want me doing that, you better close that door because you know I've got a free will and you know I'm like a donkey and I'm going to go through that door. You better close it. You better nail it shut. You better, you know, because I will try every way I can to get through that door. Make it evident to me, Lord, that I'm not supposed to go that way. That's a powerful prayer. I prayed that way a lot, and the Lord has closed a lot of doors on me. But he's opened up a lot of doors. Am I doing it the right way? I don't know. Am I doing it the right way? I don't know. All I know is that when I stand before God, I'm going to say, Lord, I did the best I could do. Did I do the best I could do every time? No. I'm ashamed to say that, no, I didn't give my best. There's a few times I was giving my best, not every time. I'm here to tell you, we're going to all stand before God, and the danger of putting out a fleece is you're putting out a fleece, you're waiting for God to answer you. You should just be working. Let the Lord open those doors, close those doors. Paul was out doing something for Jesus Christ. He was out winning the world. And he says, I'm going to Asia now. I'm going to go over to Asia. And God says, no, you're not. You're going over here. You're going west to Macedonia. Paul's like, I really want to go there. Okay. And Paul and God sent him over to Asia. I mean, sent him over to Macedonia. And then Asia was left. Because that's what God wanted. Paul just did something for the Lord, and the Lord was moving him. You see that through the book of Acts.